Dear Lord, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you that you are our God. Thank you that you strengthen those that are weak. Thank you that as we give our lives to you, we turn our eyes to you, you change us. You make us like you. Thank you tonight, Father, for my little girls, for Autumn Rose, for Amy Rochelle. The precious gifts from you. It's because of them, Lord, that you've given me a vision and a dream. A dream of what your princesses can be. And Lord, I plead with you that you would be glorified through this, that many young girls would come out from this session with their eyes turned towards you and their faces aglow, and that they would be a light everywhere they go, Father. Please bless our evening, Father. I pray you would give me strength. I pray that you would keep my thoughts together. You know how I struggle sometimes in losing my thought when I'm saying something, Father. And I pray that you would clear my mind from anything that's going to keep my thoughts together. And just bless the girls with open hearts and all of us, Father, myself included, that we can learn together. We thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Well, my goal for you is that till tomorrow afternoon, everyone that has not been looking into their maker space will be. And you will love him for what he is, and you will discover what he had in mind for you. And you would know that peace that passes all understanding, and that joy that is better than anything this world can give. We are all brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. That is the way God looks at us. We are fellow heirs with him. That's why our meeting is about princesses. That is talking about those of us that have given our hearts to him. We are accepted into a new family, a family that we didn't belong into before, but we belong now into the family of God. God is our Father. Jesus is our Lord and brother, because we are fellow heirs with him. We are of the royal family, a family that we have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. So many times we feel a little hesitant about things, you know, we're conscious of things we do or say or think and act or wear, and we have nothing to be ashamed of. Our Father, our God, is the one that made everyone in the whole world. He's the one that has a dream for everyone in the whole world. We have been adopted into that family. And being adopted into that family gives us a lot of opportunities in life that people don't have, that are not adopted into that family. Number one, we have the blessed privilege and the opportunity of being the most happy people on the face of the earth. How many of you want happiness in your life? Surely every one of you do. I think if we're honest, we all have to admit we seek after happiness. We pursue happiness. Every one of us pursue happiness. It's in one way or the other. We might not realize it or even stop to think about it, but we are pursuing happiness. Can someone tell me why we pursue happiness? Well, let me tell you why. This is how we were born. Every one of us was born and created. Our own unique shape, our own unique looks. But there's one thing we all have in common. And that is, Christ kept a puzzle piece out of our life for one reason. He knew that we have our own will, we can make our own decisions in life, and he knew there is absolutely nothing that is going to make us go back to our makers. We're going to take him for granted, we're going to forget about him, we're going to pursue our own dreams. So he took something out of our life in the shape of himself. And nothing will ever, ever fill that peace except he himself. There's a lot of us that seek happiness in the wrong places. When I was 15 or 16 years old, for maybe a year or two, I went through a period in my life when I wanted happiness so badly. I was saved. I was very clearly saved when I was 12 years old. And I had a very clear baptismal when I was 15. I had turned 15 about a week old of being 15 when I had a baptismal, and that was one of the happiest days of my life. But after that, it seemed after the thing was done, so to speak, that we can do in our spiritual life, be saved and be baptized, I didn't pursue God like I could have, and we didn't quite have the teaching either in the setting I was in as we do now, as far as a vibrant, growing Christian walk, and my devotional life dwindled down to maybe 5 minutes a day, if that much sometimes. I often went to bed, and I thought, oh, I didn't have my devotions yet, so I quickly get my Bible and read one verse and close my eyes and quickly think about it, maybe a half minute, and then quickly pray the same prayer I prayed every night pretty well, went through my list of people, and I was not finding fulfillment in my Christian life like I could have. And I started longing after the world. If I was outside somewhere and a vehicle went past with the radio going, there was something in me that just ached. I ached to be part of the world. I sought for happiness in that direction. I thought maybe if I'd be in that truck with music going and a man that loves me, maybe I'd find happiness, true happiness. I thought all kinds of selfish things, and it kind of came to a head. I mean, I'd look through magazines, pictures of men and women and dressed in these neat clothes, and I just longed to be there. And it came to a point when I was 15 years old, I was working in someone else's place, and I remember one day it kind of came to a head. I was looking through a magazine, and it was, I don't remember that it was a bad magazine, it was just maybe a Sears catalog or something with, you know, pretty clothes and things that girls go after often. And I was looking through that, and I had such a yearning for something, and I started thinking, if I could, maybe I should just run away. Should I? Should I just go away and try it a little bit? And it was such a messed up mix in my mind. I felt when I was scared to, because I knew I still wanted to serve God, and I was scared to because I had promised Him in my baptismal vows that I would stay true to Him. And if it wouldn't be that I was baptized, I don't know what would have held me, but I was honestly scared to go against those vows. And I did love my family, but it was just that missing link somehow that I wasn't as happy as I wanted to be. And I started, if I remember correctly, I started really crying that day, and I just cried and cried. It sort of came to a head, and after that, it started sort of going away. I was soon 16, I joined the young people and was in their activities and got kind of involved in that. But it wasn't until I was maybe 19 or 20 that I started discovering just how happy it is possible for a young single girl to be. I discovered, I'll have to show you this. A lot of people think that clothing will bring them happiness, and they spend hours sewing, dreaming up new patterns in clothing and buying things, browsing through the store. They're never satisfied. They keep thinking, maybe this next one will satisfy me. Does it fill the puzzle piece? It doesn't fill it, does it? Christ is much bigger, that piece is much bigger in little Amy's head there, and clothing will never, ever fill that piece in her mind. Well, some people long for popularity. If I would just be popular, or if I would just have a boyfriend, or if I could get married. If I would be married, I really think I could be happy. No, Autumn Rose, marriage does not bring happiness that lasts. Marriage is wonderful if it's in Christ, but you don't need a man to make you happy. A man cannot, every minute of the day, be with you, helping you when you're discouraged, trying to lift your spirits up. It is totally impossible. There's no person on the earth that can fill that void of happiness. Others fill it with sports, games, anything. Just, they have to have something going all the time. Once, twice a week. That doesn't fill the void either. Others think, if I would just have enough of money, or I'll go shopping, I'll do anything I can just to fill that void, and none of these fills. The only way you can ever truly be happy is once you let God fill in that puzzle piece that He took out, and He will do that. He will do that very well. He fills every last piece in there. He covers it up. He fills your whole face out, your whole body, with so much delight and happiness. There's times you're going to feel like putting your heads above your arms above your head and twirling down a hill because you can hardly contain it. That's how I felt. I don't know how many times after I discovered where true happiness comes from. Psalms 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What is more beautiful than a rejoicing heart? What is more happy? Isaiah 55, 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Then Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Being a spring of water is one of the loveliest feelings you can have in the world. When you literally feel like there's just a spring inside of you, you can hardly contain it. And that is totally possible with every one of you. Elvis Presley discovered that nothing in this world satisfies. Did you ever see a man that was more loved by people, more adored, more worshipped, had more money? More popularity, more girlfriends. What did he do in the end? Does someone know? Mom? He committed suicide. He discovered there's nothing in the world that brings happiness. Some of us would like to go this way with God. We say, okay, God, I'll give you a chance. I want you. But I want a little more than you. I want a little bit of sport. I want a little bit of my own way with my clothing. Is there a space left? If you fill yourself halfway full with God, there's still a space left around this. There's no way of putting one foot in the world and one foot of trying to serve God that you can be happy because your space is not filled. The only way your space can be filled is by Jesus Christ alone, seeking Him and His will for your life above anything else. Okay, once we have discovered that Christ is our happiness, and we believe it, but there are times that the trials of life do kind of tend to drag us down. I mean, there's nobody that's saying that has been Christian a long time that wouldn't say that we do struggle being happy sometimes, even as Christians. And it's not that we can't find it, but we don't always have it, or we don't practice it. I would like to teach you how to cultivate happiness once you are saved. Once you are saved, Probably the first few minutes after you're saved are about the happiest you ever experienced in your life, right? After that, your feelings sometimes come and go, and I would like to just show you different areas where you can cultivate happiness in your life, what you can do to keep God in your heart. Happiness is not something that is to be hard to find. God is the essence of happiness. All we need to do is connect our lives into Him, and we have all the happiness we can ever desire. It is not to be hard to find. We are not at its mercy, hoping it chooses to like us and stay. Once we learn how to find true happiness, our outward circumstances will not be able to move us or depress our spirit. God is a complete God. Anyone in Him will feel complete and happy. So how are we in Him? That sounds like pretty easy words, to stay in Christ, but how do we stay in Christ? How many of you read the book Practicing the Presence of God? I see several of you have. I wish every one of you could read it. That is a very good book. When I read it, it put such new thoughts in my mind as far as I can experience God every part of the day, not just when I have my devotions or Sunday mornings or when I go through trials, but I can experience Him the whole day. So I would like to tell you, you need to practice the presence of God through your whole day. You don't have your devotions and get through with Him in prayer and then you kind of lay Him away like a book and you go on with your day. You need to practice the presence of God. You talk with God. You talk with Him through the whole day. What you're seeing. It doesn't matter if it's little. You don't always have to say in Jesus' name, amen. And you don't close your prayer. You just say, thank you, God, for that sun. Thank you that you made it in a way that it warms my skin today. It feels good. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you for my mother, for my father. And you keep on going. Throughout the day, you wash dishes. Thank you, God, that we had food, that we can wash dirty dishes. You talk about what you see. Thank you, God, for these pretty leaves outside, for this flower. You walk down the street. Father, be with that man I see there. It looks like he's unhappy and he doesn't know you. Help him to find you. You see a baby in a carriage. Thank you, God, for little babies. They make life so precious. God is the author of happiness, and He is happiness itself. You delight yourself in Him. For once you lay your fears to rest and you realize He made you, you are His own special taste. He made you different from anybody else. And you delight yourself in that. You think, you know, He loved me enough to make me different from everybody else. Tell Him every hour that you are His. And one thing I found that was really fun to do and almost comical because my daughter follows me now, but I started making up my own words on familiar tunes, hymn tunes, and I would just sing. It didn't matter if it rhymed or not. I'd just sing, you know, Lord, how I love you, and I thank you for my husband, and I thank you for this day, and just thankful songs throughout the day that I again and again did. And maybe, you know, just when I needed His help, I started singing, help me, Lord, now. I need your help. And after a bit, little Autumn started singing songs. You can't beat her. The words she comes up with, it was really a blessing to me to see that that spirit carries through. You need to learn to be impressed. Some of us think we are grown up if we are not revealing how impressed we are about something. And that is not true at all. God likes His gifts to be appreciated. And you need to learn what it is like to appreciate His gifts, to be impressed. Be impressed with people, be impressed with events, just be impressionable. Get a flower, pull the leaves apart, look at them and thank you, God. How did you ever think up of to make something like this? Thank Him for a baby's ear. Thank Him for the crack of ice cubes when you pour water over it. Thank Him for the smell of hay. the smell of the lawn after it's mowed. Learn to become vocal. Don't just think everything inside. There is tremendous power once we learn the power of saying something out loud. It does something to us. That is why saying our prayers out loud seems to do more for us than when we just say them silently. Hearing our own selves say, "I choose to be happy today, Lord. I choose to be thankful to you." And being impressed out loud to Him. "Wow, God, that rose is just beautiful." Just saying it makes your heart feel more that way. Thank Him for the rain. Thank Him for the sunshine. You're reading a book. Every several chapters, stop and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You're watching me read this book and you love me." Act your way into right thinking. We are not to wait and wait until just the most wonderful feelings wash over us. We are to act our way into right thinking. We are saved Christians. We will act like it. We will thank Him that we are saved. We'll just do joyful actions, and that produces a joyful heart. It's amazing, but that's just the way it works. And memorize scripture. Memorizing scripture is a very powerful way of being happy when things are going tough for you. I didn't realize that so much until this last year or two. I often wanted to memorize scripture more, and I just didn't get it done until we started doing it during family devotions. And I started learning scriptures that were tremendously powerful for me when things were going wrong for me. One time especially stands out in my memory. I was having very much pain one day, and I was just bent over in a chair, and I felt like any position I'm in, I can hardly move. I just had a lot of pain, and there was nothing that looked bright or cheerful at the moment. And I started thinking of the verses I know. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." And I went on into, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And I just said verse after verse after verse, and it was amazing. I was one of the happiest women on earth, I think, and outwardly I was in tremendous pain. And I was just thinking, you know, there is nothing that I can face in life that I can't be happy in, because I have God within me. Say the Lord's Prayer. When you're out for a walk, say the Lord's Prayer and add your own words to it. Be original. "Our Father which art in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you're up above those clouds today and you're in my heart. Hallowed be thy name. I worship you because you are my Lord." You thank Him for the daily bread. You thank Him for the food. And with each phrase that you say, add your own words, what you're thinking of in that minute. Keep your quiet time with all diligence. That is very important to be a happy Christian. It helps you stay in tune enough that you can stay in tune with Him the rest of the day. God never changes. If we put our source of happiness in Him, we will always be happy as we tap into Him, because our circumstances always change. We have no guarantee of always having a husband. We have no guarantee of always having our youth. We have no guarantee of having brothers and sisters, or of having these clothes or these foods. But we have a guarantee that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." A girl who is full of happiness and contentment is a joy to all who come in contact with her. You will be like a sunbeam that everybody loves to have you come around. Maybe you need to put a paper beside your bed every morning when you get out of bed. Psalms 90:14. "He fills us each morning with His constant love, that we may sing and be glad all our life." The devil isn't ignorant. He also realizes that God is the only true source of happiness. That's why he has so many toys out there for you. He has so many that in a lifetime you cannot reach the end of it. It's only if a person is open enough to realize that this stuff is not bringing him happiness that he starts looking up instead of around for his happiness. Outsmart him. He wants to outsmart you, but you outsmart him. you play his game well and find the true source of happiness where he will end up in frustration. Trying to stay a Christian to save ourselves from hellfire and yet longing for and dabbling a little bit in the world is one of the unhappiest places you can be. It truly is. Many people have discovered that. You're too scared to really do a lot of bad things, yet you're longing after it. It's one of the unhappiest places. You might as well go out because you are so miserable and God judges your heart anyways. But you're better than going out. You're better turning around and giving everything to Christ because you won't find happiness out there. You cross back and forth until your inner heart breaks up into dividedness, purposelessness. What is more hopeless than not having a purpose in our life? And you get frustrated. You lose your victory. Your strength is reduced. Your outlook is confused. And your joy is totally gone. Find God. Find Him and learn to say, "The light of God surrounds me." And think of it. "The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is our wonderful, wonderful Lord." Let's talk about contentment. Contentment is very closely linked to happiness. But once we discover what the source of happiness is, we still tend to kind of grab things out here and there. We don't, because we're not forced to, we don't find contentment in Him. Contentment means to be easy in your mind, to be satisfied. And we're entirely honest with ourselves. Are we satisfied? Are we satisfied with what we have? Are we satisfied in Christ? Let's look at Philippians 4:11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Contentment comes from learning where our happiness comes from and making choices that we will not search, we will not allow ourselves to look for things outside of Christ to satisfy us. God looks at contentment as a great gain to you spiritually. Do you want what He wants? Do you really? Are you mature enough to cultivate decisions that are not necessary financially, but to please His heart, to be more worth to Him, and learn contentment? Suppose you wouldn't have a new dress for a whole year. You would not buy one new CD or tape. You would have no outings, maybe one birthday party. Would you be depressed? Would you be depressed if you couldn't go sew because it's your therapy? Would you be depressed if you would have to limit your eating to only meal times? You could never go to it when you're a little off in your mind. Would you be depressed if you would not be allowed to read a new book for a whole year? Those things are challenging. They're challenging to me, believe me. And I start wondering, do I know what true contentment is? If you love sewing, if you love to eat, if you love to read, if this is a therapy to you, is it your God? My question is this: when you are feeling blue, what do you do? Are you letting God be your God, or are you not cultivating contentment in your heart and you're going to these other things to try to find your happiness? If buying that new dress or pullover sweater or other sweater gives you a boost, is that the God you're following? Do you realize how easy it is to make a God out of things? God wants to be our source of contentment, not our continuing change of wardrobe, our constant new music, or the hours spent on the sewing machine, or our weekly or monthly activities with other people or youth. If you love to do something or get something, check yourself. Would I be depressed without it?
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.